James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25 is that text. But I want to read from verse 19. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every one be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." In verses 19 through 25, James taught us the importance of hearing the word and receiving the word with meekness. So his emphasis was on that when we are hearing the word, we should pay attention to the listening of the word and not be daydreaming or not be, you know, occupied with our own thinking. But how you receive the word is very important, he's saying, because on it lies your salvation. Because he says, when we receive the word with meekness, it has the ability to save your souls, to give you salvation. And then in verse 22, he puts this conjunction, but he uses. Now, when normally the word, this word but appears, it is basically contrasting. But in this case, it indicates that something must be added to what James has just said. That's what he means. And what did James just speak? His command was, be swift to hear. That was his command. Be swift to hear. And this verse, verse 22, is a qualification to the precept or command that he just gave, which is swift to hear. And he qualifies it by saying that that's not enough. Just hearing is not enough. It needs to be followed through with obedience. That's why he uses this conjunction, but. It indicates something further must be done, just beyond hearing. And that is doing the word, being doers of the word. So, this word, verb, actually is very interesting. It's actually can be translated in Greek to become. And the place that it appears is appears in very different verses, but particularly in Matthew chapter 18 verse 3, it says, "And said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." It's the same word, become, which is used, is become doers of the word. So basically it means that, and literally it could read like this, become ye continually doers of the word. So it is actually expressing habit. It is expressing a habit that should be a believer's habit of becoming a doer of the word, not just the hearer of the word. The question is, do all believers always put the word into practice? No. No. Let's look at some other translations, how it's translated in this verse 22 is. And Wymouth says, "But prove yourselves obedient to the message, and do not be mere hearers of it, imposing a delusion upon yourselves." God's word says, do what God's word says. Don't merely listen to it or you will fool yourself. Contemporary English version says, obey God's message. Don't fool yourselves by just listening to it. Powerful way to bring out. So, the bottom line of teaching and preaching is obedience. It's not just sitting, taking notes. It's not just sitting and hearing and nodding ahead of what a great message it is. It's not just showing with your facial expression that you really delight in listening to the word. The bottom line is, do I practice what I hear? Is what is important. And believe me, today majority of Christians think that they are right with God. They are right with God by just coming to church Sunday after Sunday, midweek after midweek, and they think they are right with God. And they don't apply what they hear. And James is nailing that down. He's saying, you are deceiving your own self. He's saying, the word of God is the context here. The word of God, when I mean, is the gospel. Gospel is what James is talking about. He actually refers to the word in many different ways in the book of James. In verse 18, he says, of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. In verse 21, he uses and he says, the receiving the engrafted word. And in verse 25, he calls it as perfect law of liberty. So this is talking about, the context is gospel. The gospel can save your soul. Not just hearing the gospel will save your soul. Because in verse 21, he says, you know, the gospel has the ability to save your soul. But not just hearing the gospel will give you the ability to save your soul. But it's obeying the gospel which will save your soul. See, in Hebrews 4:2, this is talking about the children of Israel. Now, I mean, they heard a lot of doctrine. They heard Moses speaking to them. They heard God's law, God speaking face to face with them. They heard a lot. And in Hebrews, the writer says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, that is talking about in children of Israel. But the word preached did not profit them. That's a powerful statement. He's saying they heard, but it did not do any good to them. It did not profit them. Why? He gives the reason. Because not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They did not do it. They did not mix faith with it. And that's why it actually defeats the whole purpose of listening the word if you're not applying it. Because the whole point of coming to a Bible study is applying. That's the whole point. It's not just head knowledge. You know, today there are many people who have very good head knowledge. They know Bible verses, they can quote the Bible verses left, right, center, and they can just speak, you know, they can debate on doctrine. But if you see their personal life, they don't put that into practice. They don't put into practice. So that's a major problem. Obedience should always be the bottom line of every single Bible study. We should come to the Bible study with this view in my mind that what am I going to obey today? What am I going to put into practice? You know, well, we'll come to that later. But, you know, James, if you recollect, James spoke at the council in Acts chapter 15. And he referred to the Jews as saying that, you know, they were coming week after week on every Sabbath day and they were listening to the law of Moses. In verse 21 of chapter 15, he says, for Moses of old time had in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. So they were hearing every Sabbath day the law of Moses. And in fact, Jews took great pride in hearing the law. Really. And in fact, if you read Romans chapter 2 and 3, that's what Paul is actually telling them, that you know, you are taking pride in listening to the law, but you yourself are not keeping it. That's what he's saying. In Romans 2 verse 13, he says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." So Paul blasts them and says that, you know what, you're taking pride in by hearing, but you are not keeping the law. And that is not going to justify you before God. So there is no profit in just hearing. It is in doing. Now the word doer is a very, very important verb. It is actually a Greek word, poietes, and it basically means to do or to make or to accomplish. So it is used in two ways. It is used as someone who has an occupation, like, you know, a carpenter. You know, a carpenter does carpentry. You know, a builder builds, a mechanic fixes cars and, you know, bikes. So it's an occupation. So what James is saying, that doing should be a Christian's, a disciple's occupation. That is my occupation. My occupation is that I hear and I do it. That's my job. Just like, you know, Stevens is a web designer. You know, it's his occupation. And that's exactly what it is. And the other way also it is, it means is a performer. Someone who performs the duty, what is prescribed to them. Okay, it's like going to a doctor and he tells you, like, you have this problem and you take this medicine and you do it. Right? You know, just like hear it, okay, yeah, okay, this is good medicine probably, and that's it. And you don't take it. So a doer has the idea is an occupation. The idea is performing. In fact, in Acts 17:28, Paul says, "For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets." The word poet is the same Greek word as doers. So this was their occupation, writing poem, you know, have said, "For we also are his offspring." So the, you know, if you think about a poet, you know, he's very creative. I mean, and he uses his imagination and he's working and he's, you know, writing the poem down, and, you know, takes a lot of effort, you know. And if he stops writing and thinking, he wouldn't be able to be in that business, you know. So that's the idea. Idea is that we should be performers of what we do. No, and notice one thing. He does not say just do the word. He does not say do the word. Now that would be like someone who incidentally performs it. You know, he hears it, likes it, and, you know, he does it. You know, by chance, he does it. But neither does he say be doers, like, you know, meaning occasionally, you know, you do it. You know, many times, also this is another thing that, you know, we, some parts of the Bible we obey and we are obedient to, and we think that, you know, we are good, and we neglect the hard ones or one that's that we don't like, you know. So that will be an occasional doer. But he says become doers. In other words, what he's trying to say is that it should not be occasional. It should be your habit. This should be your lifestyle. This should be our disposition. It should be the way we live. There's no question. You know, there is no gimmick behind this. Okay, there is no camouflaged thing. It is clear and simple. Hearing, a doer is someone who does. A doer is not someone who thinks, but someone who works, who is active. Action is involved. In James 2, verse 24, James says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So if you're just hearing and not doing it, you are like a dead person. You know, you are not applying. and just hearing is not enough. We got to do, and that's what makes us right before God. That's what justifies. That's what pleases God. It has to be a habitual practice. We should never stop to strive to do what we hear. We should always continue striving to be doers. You know, Jesus, once when he was passing by, and he spoke great words, you know, he preached. And there was one woman who really liked his preaching, and she said, she lifted up her voice in Luke 11:27 and said, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the paps which thou hast sucked." But he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." So we see that Jesus put highest priority in hearing and doing. That was his highest priority. And remember, hearing and doing go hand in hand. Hearing is accompanied by doing. You cannot separate the two. You know, hearing is just the starting point, and it has to be culminated in faithful obedience. It's just a starting point. And so James is saying that we should not just merely only be hearers. Now, by saying that, he's not minimizing hearing. He's not minimizing. You know, he says it's important. Hearing is important. Very much important. And we got to hear. But more important is that you put that into practice. You know, there are many Christians who come to church to get their feelings pepped up by listening to the message. And it's like, you know, going to a movie and watching a movie and being a spectator only. Really, many Christians come to church like that. They come like they are watching a movie. They want beautiful music going on, you know, and then sharing of the word and the testimonies. And I had a great feeling, and then go back home feeling, "Oh, I heard such a great message. I had such a beautiful time. Presence of God was in the midst, and I really felt that emotional, you know, charge." And that's it. You know, that's how, honestly, that's how so many Christians live today. They watch God channel on, sitting at home on the TV, and, you know, the preacher is preaching, and they listen, and they think they are right with God. And they are doing, you know, actually what they are doing, they are deceiving themselves. No one else. They are not deceiving God or others, but their own self, in thinking that they are doing the right thing. Remember, hearing is not an end in itself. It is just means to an end. And the end is obedience. Remember, in the book of Ezekiel, this is a very great, a good verse. Pastor Adam shared last time also of this. Chapter 33, verse 31. And it says, this actually defines what a hearer only is. "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." So these people were God's people. They were giving their attentive ears, concentration, and they seemed attentive too. And notice what it says, "With their mouth they show much love." So by the motion of their lips and their gesture, and they're nodding and said, "Oh yes, Pastor, amen. I mean, what a great message, you know." And, you know, and when you're standing here, I mean, you know, those who preach, we can see the faces, right? We can see people nodding, "Oh wow, yes." And we think, like, you know, they're really great. I mean, they are so attentive, and they want to obey. And they, after church, message is over, and they even come to the pastor and say, "What a beautiful message. It just changed my whole life. And God spoke to me." And you know what? They know exactly God spoke to them in that area. But they go and do nothing about it. How do we know? Because you know what? A week later, the pastor has to counsel on the very same subject that he just spoke on Sunday. So, you cannot impress God by just attending the church. You cannot impress Him. You cannot go on pleasing God and by just showing up on the church and having regular attendance, you know, not missing one single church service. But the way we can please God is that what we practice. You know, it's no point that you read the whole chapter and you can memorize the whole chapter and not even keep one single commandment. It won't do any good. You know, it would just increase head knowledge. James, in his book, in verse 17 of chapter 4, he says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." That is serious. He's saying it is sin if you have a knowledge that this is what is good and you know that information, but you're not performing it, you are in sin. It is sin. And this sin is committed by so many Christians today. We are not to be a word, only word hearing and non-doing hypocrites. A person who is just hearing and not doing, he's a hypocrite. And he just wants to have intellectual stuff in his mind and he knows the Greek grammar and tense and everything. Remember Jesus' first Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, he starts. And he, amazing message he's preaching. That's his first message. And he's preaching. But I really like the way he ends his sermon. And he ends his sermon by drawing a picture of two kinds of people. One is a wise man and one is a foolish man. So basically he's trying to say all this what I said, and people were amazed. They really were astonished by his preaching. They were sitting there and they said, wow, this man is from God. I mean, what amazing message he preached. But he goes on to, he really nails it down by speaking this passage. And he says, listen, in verse 24 in Matthew 7, he says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine," which he just spoke from chapter 5 all the way up to chapter 7, "and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which builds his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." So this is a man who hears, he's saying, and does it. He's likened unto, now if you are a contractor, and if you want to build a house, you would be so foolish to build upon a sand on Kolwa Beach. You know, it would be so foolish to do that. Verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." Now, initially, when you build the house on the sand, it looks great. It might look standing, firm, strong, wonderful. It will only come to know if it's strong and stays when the wind really blows. And, you know, it's such a foolish thing. We are foolish if we don't apply those teachings of Jesus Christ. James, half-brother of Jesus, is in line with his Lord. He's speaking the same thing. And I think in the context also, the context is trials. And it really happens. You know, in trials, we tend to not obey the word, but we want to go more with our feelings and more what we think is right. And put that into action rather than trusting God and doing what is required. No adjustments. Just do what is there and let God see the other end. I mean, let Him put the pieces together. But even in trials, we should be obedient. Like a very good example is Job. He went through trials. Everything was lost. You know, and he could do a lot of management and he could have done a lot of other things. But you know, he said, he gives, he takes away, blessed be the Lord. He obeyed and he kept hating evil and he kept worshipping God. So the idea, as we said, behind hearing the word is to do the word. And how do I know that I'm not the hearer of the word only? It's very simple. I can know, and you can know yourself, that if you are just the hearer of the word only. You know, if your life is not changing, if you're doing the same thing again and again, then probably you're not putting it into practice. You know, listening to the word and hearing, and when I'm doing, changes my behavior, changes my character, makes me a new creature. But if I'm doing the same thing even after hearing and not changing, it's not doing any good to me. You know, someone said that the best hearers, doers are the best hearers. Actually, it's not the best note takers, it's not the nodders, but the doers are the real hearers. In Romans 12:2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," or change, "by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So you need to change. It's demonstrated by a changed behavior. Now, James goes on to say something very, very important. And he's saying that if you are just a hearer and not a doer, you are deceiving yourself. That word deceiving is a Greek word, paralogizomai. And actually it means miscalculation. So Christians who hear the word without obeying it, they make a serious spiritual miscalculation. Their calculation causes them to delude themselves. The calculation is this. The deception is here, what James brings out is this, that hearing only makes me righteous. And if I am thinking that way, I am deceiving myself. I am making a big, huge mistake. It is the false reasoning that hearing is what is only good, required. And I'm coming and listening and I'm safe. Really, many Christians today, evangelical Christians who come and they think that they are safe and they are spiritually growing by just hearing. It's a deception. People can think they are right with God by just hearing. And that's a deception that James is talking about. And Jesus said, those who are deceived, he shows them their future. Now, this is, you know, they might think right now, they might be deceived, and if they don't realize, they will definitely realize at the day of judgment. Notice, this is the day of judgment in Luke chapter 13, verse 24. "Strive to enter in at the straight gate," or narrow gate, "for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not, where ye are from. I don't know you. Then shall you begin to say, Oh, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets." Or should we say, "Oh, you taught in our churches. We were there, we listened to every single sermon. Oh, Lord, come on, open the door to us." But he say, "I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out." What was the problem here? Well, Luke's 20, parallel passage, Luke 6:46 says, Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That was a problem. They were saying, "Lord, Lord," but they were not doing what the Lord was saying. And this is one of the reasons why only few will enter through narrow gate. It's because of self-deception. You know, the Lord hasn't made the word available to us just for an interesting reading. But it is to prepare us for a required action. We can know that we know Him. The way we can know Him is by keeping His commandments. In 1 John 2:3 it says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So that's the verse that James wants to really drill and make sure that we not just hearers but doers of the word. And if we are not, then we are deceiving our own self. Now, he further goes by using this word, conjunction word, for, in verse 23. And he is going to give an analogy to show us what, so that he wants to drive this point home. And he is going to paint a picture and show us what a hearer looks like and what the one who really does it after hearing looks like. And his analogy goes this way: "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Now, this glass, basically speaking of mirror. In those days, you didn't have mirrors. You would have metal, and they would polish the way you could see your reflection. You know, so in our modern day, it would be mirror. Okay, so what James is saying is that, you know, the word of God is like a mirror. That's what he is using metaphorically, saying that the word of God is like a mirror. And I don't know, I know. How many of us, let me put it this way. When is the last time you did not look yourself in the mirror? We do this daily. Every single day. And probably just before coming to church, you all stood before the mirror, right? And saw, you know, if there is nothing on my face and, you know, I'm shaved and, you know, I'm looking okay. Mirror is such an important thing, right? Because when it shows our blemishes, it shows what's wrong and what needs to be fixed. So the word of God is like that. When we come to the service and we listen to the word, it's like a mirror on my face, and it's showing me, oh, you know what? There is a piece of chicken here. Oh, you know what? My teeth are black, or something like that. It's showing. Sometimes we don't like how we look like, you know. But that's the word of God. It's exposing. It's revealing, you know. And thank God that we have such a mirror that reveals so that we can fix it. In Hebrews 4:12-13 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." You know, the pastor cannot know your thoughts. Your wife cannot know your thoughts. But the word of God knows your thought and motives. So when we come, it hits the areas that it needs to hit. It exposes the area of our lives, and the same message can apply in 100 different ways to all the different people, you know, because that is the power of the word of God. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." You know, if you go in front of the mirror, he's not going to hide your blemishes. It will show you exactly what it is, right? Except for in the case of Snow White. "Mirror, mirror, tell me how beautiful I am," or something like that, right? But the mirror shows us the true thing. So he's likening this man who is just here and does not do it, like a man who looks himself in the mirror. This word that he uses in verse 24, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway, the word straightway means immediately, forget it what manner of man he was. Now this word beholdeth is the Greek word kata noio, means to perceive. Meaning it's not something that, you know, he does not understand. It means he understood. He knows what it was exposed to him, what are the flaws, what needs to be fixed. He knows that. He perceives, he understands. He knows that this needs to be fixed. Like when we heard the message on gentleness a few weeks back, I knew that I need to fix that, you know. But like, you know, I look into the mirror and I know that, you know, I need this. But then I go and I don't do anything about it. And, you know, so many people live like this. You know, I don't know, what do you, you know, I remember once, like, I went and I looked myself in the mirror and I saw that, you know, I need to shave, you know. But then so many things came up, and, you know, and especially it happens when I'm preaching, because I'm engrossed with studying, and, you know, and then I just forget about it. And then when I'm sitting in the car, oh no, I forgot. I mean, I needed to shave, you know. And that's what happens many times, that we forget what we looked like if we don't fix it right away. And what happens? See, the point is this, that you tend to forget how you look like. Why? Because there are many other things that come in your way that, you know, it slips your mind. So, you know, when I think when James is saying that he forget it immediately what manner he was, I don't think he's talking about poor memory. But I think that this guy is not making doing the word his priority, because other things are pressing upon him more, are more important than doing what he needs to do. Like if you go through Matthew 13 and the parable of sower, they were hearing, they were understood. But what happened? The cares of this life choke the word, it says. Other things come into picture and you forget how you look like. And it was so foolish that I know there is a spinach on my face and I just walk away. And it will be such an embarrassing thing for someone else to point and show, hey, you know, this is there. And we think like by hearing we are fine. But actually, you know what? Others know that flaw in me. They can see that. So, what a great graphic picture James gives us so that we can understand. So this person who walks away without doing anything, he took note of what needs to be fixed, but he doesn't do anything. And that's a real problem. You know, I got all the book and PDF on muscle building, you know. And I got dumbbells and weight lifts, everything, you know. And by thinking that just reading the PDF and what muscles to work and how to work and, you know, and looking at this man with, you know, six-pack ab and, you know, and I'm going to become like that. Forget about it. You know, I know that I need to do this, but yet I don't do it. This is exactly what people are doing with God's word. They're playing games with God. His word. They're playing games. And they think that they're going to stand righteous in that day before God. You know, the problem is they don't make it priority. We have this problem with children. I have with my children. I tell them to do something and they don't do it. And then, you know what? The classic thing is that, why didn't you do it? Oh, I forgot. I mean, Come on, they don't have a poor memory. They exactly know at 5 o'clock I got to go and play. They don't forget that. But they forget cleaning the room. You know, washing the dish or keeping the books away. They forget that. The problem is not memory. The problem is it's not priority. That is not their priority. Their priority is playing. And that's exactly the problem is with many Christians. They don't make that their priority. See, you know, the thing is that when we listen, we come with an attitude of hearing and immediately putting that into practice. We should come prepared that I want to put that into practice. Now, the other person that James brings out in closing in verse 25 is this: but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. You know, we need to view the word of God as perfect law. It's perfect in the sense it's complete. You don't require anything else. It's perfect. It exactly gives you what is required for your living. To make you stand approved in that day. It's a perfect. In Psalm 19 it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It says. So, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. The word looks into is, the Greek word is different from what we saw in verse 24. This is the Greek word parakupto, which means to bend over or to lean. It was used when, you know, Peter went into the sepulchre and he stooped and he carefully observed to make sure that his body is not there. You know, he wanted to make sure and he was continually looking at it. That's the picture. So the doer is someone who stoops and bends over and listens attentively with the idea of putting into practice. And he does this continually. That the emphasis in this passage is not looking into, but actually the emphasis continuing in it is what is emphasized here. So this man is not like the previous one who goes immediately away and forgets. But the emphasis, the next man is one who listens. And he's not a man like, you know, Monday he forgets the message of Sunday. But the second person listens to that message he saw, and then Monday he reflects, you know what, yeah, I remember gentleness. I need to fix that, you know. Tuesday he remembers, oh yes, I know what I heard. Wednesday he remembers, okay, you know, I need to practice this. And Thursday and Friday he continues in it. That's the emphasis. Meaning, continuing is his duty. That's the duty that he's emphasizing. Continuing in it. Persevering in the observance of the law. That's what is emphasized. And in the continuing, actually, in this context, is the opposite of forgetting. So a person being convicted for a moment and without fruit is the picture of the man who was spoken about earlier. But a person gets convicted and he follows through his conviction and he does something about it. In closing, this is what Joshua said, the same thing in verse 8 of chapter 1. He said, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. And what is the purpose of meditating day and night? It is not to have how many verses I memorized. But the purpose is that you may observe to do according to all that is written. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. So what is the difference in these two men that James presents to us? One walks away from the word without dealing with his sin. The other continues in the word and by the power of God in daily life, in his daily life, everyday life. He brings that word in his everyday life and applies it. And you know, that's liberty. That's real freedom. Freedom is not by hearing only. True liberty comes when we obey what is said. John 8 verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So James says that this man continues in the perfect law of liberty, and that is his duty of persevering. And notice he says that this man will be blessed in what he does. There is a great blessing in doing. Not just hearing only, but in doing. There is a great blessing. And this is what Jesus said. John 13:16. He says, Verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. He does not say you are happy if you know them. You are happy. This is the same word as blessed. Blessed are ye if you do them. And you know what? I think blessing can be in this life, and of course, definitely at the judgment seat. But you know, God's word, people think as legalism, commandments as legalism. But actually, God's word is there for us to obey, and it is there for our good. You take any sin in the Bible, any sin, and you don't do that, it is going to benefit you, ourselves, not to anyone, but for yourself. So that's how it is, that God, doing God's word, is going to always bless you, you know. No matter if you cannot see the fruit right away. You know, there might be, you know, you are obeying, but you're still going down. But you're doing, you're obeying, you're doing the right thing. But yet you are getting into trouble. But that does not mean that God's word is imperfect or should not be obeyed. Wait till the end. Because those who do are going to be justified. So Revelation 22:14, Jesus says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." This is true blessedness. To enter through the gates. And see, it says that they have right. They have the authority. They have the privilege. Who? Those who do his commandments. So let's not delude ourselves in thinking that mere hearing is good enough for us. Or even occasional doing is good enough for me. Or if I'm doing parts, obeying parts of the commandments, I am good. Amen?